So tonight we're going to deal with only two verses of the Bible. So I want you to go there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. First thing I want to do is read it for you, and then I'm going to show you how it breaks down. Hebrews 12, 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." That's the first phrase I want you to say out loud. Lay aside every weight. And the sin. You got to see that. It's not a sin. It's not any sin. It's a particular sin. And the sin. Everybody say the sin, which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Go on to the next verse. And verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him," that's what you got to get your eyes on right there, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now I want to break this down for you. We're going to talk about six things out of this verse, and I want to show you what those are. Jonathan, you'll put those up for me. I want to show you these six things that we're going to break down from this verse. There are several things I want you to notice, and if you underline things in your Bible, underline these things. We got to lay aside, so I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm going to save that one for last, by the way. We're going to lay aside every weight, okay, every weight from the sin. Now, it is a particular sin. It's not used, it's not the common word in the Bible for sin. That is why it's called the sin, not a sin or every sin. It would have just said every sin, but it's not. It's talking about a particular thing that happens in the body of Christ, and it causes us to be weighted down and easily ensnared. The weight and the sin ensnares us. It catches us in a trap. It restricts us and binds us. And then it steals the joy of our future. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So you get this attitude that there's no joy left and no victories ahead. And you start getting your eyes on the past and the present, and you can't see the future. So that's the snare that Satan wants you in. And then it causes us to feel shame and makes us do shameful things. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, because it was there, and is now, there's the victory at the end, set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, so let's break this down and look at it. So the first thing I want to talk about is one phrase. Let's go to the sin that so easily ensnares us. So I want you to look at this verse again, and I want to focus on just that one phrase, the sin which so easily ensnares us. That's what I want to talk about. So leave that up there for just a moment, because that's all I want us to think about for a moment, the sin. Now, there's many New Testament words, because we're reading from the New Testament. There's many New Testament words that are used to translate into the English word sin. As a matter of fact, there's 13 of them. And of those words, many of those are words that you could also translate into the word, like kakos is a Greek word that literally means to do evil. All right? So panros is a Greek word that literally means to do malicious things. That means you're tearing things up and hurting people. It means malice and the act of malice. So you're doing things that are hurting others. That's what malice means, by the way. That means that you're beyond talking about it. Now you're tearing things up. That means you're breaking things, including hearts. So that's when you get malice in you. That means when you're so out of control, you start tearing up material things. All right, so that's the word panros. But this is not any of those words. This is a different word called hamartria. And hamartria is a word that means one thing. It means, put that up if you will, guys, it means offense. That's all it means. All right, so the sin is having offense in my spirit that I have never dealt with. That's what it means. That means if I am a born-again Christian and I speak in tongues every week and I go to global prayer every Thursday and I come to church every Tuesday and Sunday and every revival I can find, but I have any unforgiveness in me toward anybody, that includes enemies and mother-in-laws and sisters and brothers and first and second and third cousins twice removed. That's everybody. But if there's anybody that I hate, if there's anybody that I haven't forgiven, if there's anybody, then I am carrying in my spirit an extra weight. My spirit can never feel joy. It can never get free. I see people dancing, but it's just not in me. I say it's not my personality, but I dance other places, right? I do the electric slide. I just can't do that. I can't do either, but you know what I'm saying? So we make all these excuses why I don't have the same joy that everybody else has. It's just not my personal. No, your joy is a benefit of serving Christ. Joy gives you energy and strength. Well, that also means that you're going to be deficient in love. And that means that love is going to become conditional. I love you if you treat me right, but not if you don't. Unconditional love means you can't mistreat me enough to make me quit loving you. I may not like it, but I'm going to love you anyway. And I'm going to show you I love you because it's more than a commitment. I'm going to love on you even when you can't love on me. Hard stuff. So if I have any kind of offense inside of me, it means I am weighted down somehow, some way, and now I'm easily ensnared. Uh-huh. You see that? I'm easily ensnared. Now Satan can trap me quicker than he can trap other people because he can push my button. He can call that name. He can bring me right back to that moment and trigger me just like that, and I'm easily ensnared. What is the ensnarement? One thing, really, hopelessness. Because remember, this is about shame and future joy. So I don't see any future joy. I don't see any right hand of the Father. All I see is shame. So the minute you get ensnared, you instantly feel shame. We might call that low self-esteem. But it's shame. I'm ashamed of myself. And it's not because you're a bad person. It's because you have a weight that you cannot seem to get rid of that's hanging on to you.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
So carrying an offense is like carrying a weight. It's like walking around with this big boulder on your back, or this weight on your back. And imagine that being your spirit. Not your body, but your spirit. And here I am. I'm hunched over, and I have a hard time praying, and I have a hard time focusing, and I really don't enjoy reading the Bible, and I really don't like people. I mean, let's be honest. That's part of it. I really don't like people, and I don't even like myself, and so I'm rude. I know there's no, that's an oxymoron. No Christians are rude. We all know that, right? No Christians are rude, especially not to waitresses, and, you know, they're not rude. So I'm carrying this weight, and this weight keeps slipping out in my character when I don't even know it's there. I'm just don't have any joy. I don't have any peace. I don't have any long suffering. Don't look at your neighbor right now, but ask yourself, do I have any long suffering? This is for you and God. You and God, straight ahead. Don't look at anybody. And please don't ask them. Do I have long suffering? It's a fruit of the Spirit. I mean, if you can speak in tongues, you should also have long suffering. Speaking in tongues is not a fruit of the Spirit. Long suffering means you do have the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. All right, let's keep going. I'll get stuck there. Now, we live in a world that's easily offended. How many of you would agree with that? Social media is a great tool for connecting with friends, but if you ever start connecting with strangers, you're going to find out real quick it's a breeding ground for the addiction of offense. I mean, they'll lay into you hiding behind some kind of fake name, and they'll lay into you. Go, every time you click on it, say, wonder what they've posted, and it's nothing. They don't have a picture. All they did is put somebody else's name on there so they could get on there and blast whatever they wanted to blast. And so that's what happens a lot of times on social media. So if we have, here's the problem with our nation. I love this nation, and I'm waiting on revival to heal us, and I believe it's going to come. But what I hate about this nation right now, one of the things that troubles me is we have now legalized offense. Which means now, if you offend me, I can do something about it. I can go to the court and do, because you offended me, I can do something about it. And what kind of world are we in when we have now legalized the fact that we're hurting people's feelings? Listen, you should have grown up in the old school like me. The teacher would have bent you over, cracked your rear end with a paddle, and then you would have gotten home and got it again. And then if two boys in the gym got offended, the coach would take you out back, put some boxing gloves on you, say, take care of it. The winner takes all. I mean, you know, you may think that sounds like violence, but that sounded like solutions to us back then. And guess what? We got over it. You didn't carry that around. We worked it out quick, and I'm not advocating that, so don't all the parents send me an email. You just told me to let my kids fight it out. Well, you know, it worked in my generation, but this is not my generation. So where do we go with this? Where do we go as Christians in the body of Christ where we're supposed to be separate and different from the world when everybody's offended? Now, you tell me, I'm going to name some groups. You tell me if you think they're offended. Republicans, Democrats, men, women, transgenders, millennials, baby boomers, atheists, agnostics, Muslims, Jews, Christians, neighbors. Can you name anybody that's not offended? I mean, that's family. I mean, we can go that. It's like we have become addicted in this nation. The thing that is scary about this is that's not God's way. The thing that is scary about this is that he's called us to a different plane of living. He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us and let us live above this entrapment of offense. I'm going to say something that I don't hear anybody say in the pulpit now unless they say it mad. And I'm not mad, so I'm just going to say it glad. You may not agree with what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it, and then you can go out and say what you want to say. Or next time you get in your pulpit, you can just say what you want to say. So here's what I'm going to say because I believe it. Racism is a sin. That's what I believe. I believe it's a sin. I don't believe you can find it. I know people got scriptures and all kinds of things and mama and papa and all this. Listen, if you read the Bible and you understand Christianity, especially life in Christ, the abundant life and the fruit of the Spirit in the New Testament church, you have to believe. There's an entire chapter in the New Testament, Philemon, that was written to set a slave free and invite him into the church as a brother. The whole book is there to say he is one of us. He was born into slavery, but he is a member of our family, and I want you to relinquish the jurisdiction laws against him and bring him back to me, Paul said, because I need him in the ministry because he's my brother. That's what the whole book of Philemon is about. So I realize that our nation is still paying for the awful atrocities of our forefathers, and I realize that slavery was abolished 159 years ago before anyone in this room or anyone listening to me was born, even probably before most of your parents were born. But, and I understand that slavery is a crime. I get that. I believe all of that. But the remnants of this horrible part of our history has left a residue of racial hatred in our land that the church cannot be a part of. We have to take the side of Christ. We will, you know, I don't want to stand before God with racial hatred in my heart. I don't want to stand on judgment day and say, but this was my excuse. No, we're going to be judged out of the words of our mouth, and we're going to be judged out of the thoughts of our mind and our hearts, and we're going to be judged out of the Word of God. And that is why today in our country we have black people being mistreated by white people, but that's not where it stops. We have a lot of white people being mistreated by black people, and we've got to stop this in the body of Christ. It's a two-way thing. It's not just a minority thing. It's a hatred thing. Yes, I understand there's more in a majority and less in a minority, and every minority deserves equal rights across the board. I do not argue that point. But hatred is wrong no matter what color you are. Hatred is wrong, and mistreating people is wrong for every single color on the planet. You cannot make excuses because of your color, saying that that gives me a right to hate other people. Indians have been mistreated and hold resentment in this land. Immigrant workers from Latin America and India and Asia have been mistreated and are still in pain from minority treatment. Not in this land, but in lands across the world. We have mistreated people because they're different from us. But the way I understand it, every person with a different skin pigment from yours and a different culture and a different accent, if I understand the Bible, they are still my brothers and my sisters. If I believe the Bible is true, if you're from African descent or Anglo descent or Hispanic or Asian or First Nations people of this of America, if you're the Indians from India or from North Dakota or New Mexico or wherever you're from, if you're from the Middle East, if you're Jewish, if you're Arab, if you're Russian, and if you're Eskimo, if you're European descent, if you're an Islander, if you have come to the cross of Jesus Christ, you are my brother and you are my sister if you have come to Jesus Christ. And we have got to give up hatred in the name of skin pigment and mistreatment and misinformation that has been broadcast to our youth from one to another, telling them all people, stereotyping everybody because of the mistreatment of one person. Racism is wrong, and Christians should not practice it.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.